Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Socialism is so much fun, Lee.
Really?
Yeah, and because we're not a socialist country, it's really sad, we're not going to be able to participate in the Cola Challenge. It's called like Cola Challenge or the Line Challenge in English.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really sad. And it's an online social media phenomenon in Cuba, where they're now beginning not to starve, but to really struggle for food, more than usual anyway, because they were so dependent on Venezuela.
Right.
Right, so they don't have any food either. So,
I know how that's going.
Yes, you have to spend, you know, literally a couple days of your week now in Cuba just standing online, hoping to get goods, you know, basic stuff, right? And so if you manage to actually get the goods before they run out, that is winning La Cola Challenge, right?
Yeah. Winning.
It's winning. Yeah. And I mean, this is a big deal. So you can get lots of hits, a lot of popularity if you're good at the Cola Challenge, right? So the Cola Challenge is, and if you can be the first person to get the goods, then man, that is like you'll be famous. So there's this, these two guys are gay, and they are huge winners at La Cola Challenge. They're very good. And the other day, they managed, are you ready for this? Do you know what they did? They won La Cola Challenge by getting 2 liters of cooking oil before anybody else.
Wow.
A feat, Breitbart writes, that has become significantly more difficult since the May 10th restrictions on most things that you need to cook and a lot of things that you eat, since they are sort of out of them. Anyway, and it's really sad in America that we don't get to participate in this because, you know, I mean, like if I could just go to Walmart down the street right now and buy as much cooking oil as I could probably fit definitely in my car.
Yeah.
If I wanted it, I probably could get that much if I wanted it. So, I mean, it's no fun for me.
No.
You know, I mean, there's no sense of reward. There's no sense of having worked so damn hard for 2 days. You know, you don't appreciate your cooking oil in America because you can just go buy it.
Where's the adventure in that?
I know. Where's the fun in that? Anyway, this couple, this gay couple, have become famous in Cuba because they're so good at the Cola Challenge. And they don't give away all their secrets as to how they get, you know, basic food items and don't starve. But they do give hints and tips. And so, like, everybody's following them. It's so cool.
Gee, tips about how to stand in line?
Yeah. Like, here's one of them. Rent a child.
No.
No. Mothers are renting children so that you can put them down. So, like, if you have 6 kids, right, and somebody else has, like, 2, you probably won't get enough to eat, so you need a 3rd child, right, so you can get more food.
Well, here in this country, we call that daycare, but anyway.
Yeah. So you rent the 6th child, because she doesn't need all 6, right? You rent the 6th child, you get to put them down for your quota. And that way you can actually get enough to eat. So like this, these are the kind of innovative ways that you think, and it's part of the Cola Challenge.
Defrauding the government.
Well, yeah, but it's a communist government.
Exactly. Who
fundamentally
cares?
Crooked. I mean, you don't need to feel bad about that.
Yeah,
trust
exactly.
Me. It's okay. So anyway, speaking of, so this is so much fun. So it's so cool. So Gallup wanted to know how many people want to play the Cola Challenge, right? Because it's really hard to fry stuff without cooking oil.
Yes, it is.
It just sticks to the pan.
All right, I know.
And if you ruin the pan, you probably won't be able to get one for 6 months to a year anyway, because you got to wait online for that too. So, I mean, you don't want to do that. So, 4 in 10 Americans embrace some form of socialism, Gallup reports. But that artificially inflates it, some form of socialism. In other words, most people want free market except for one form of socialism. Like, I would like free healthcare, but I want a free market, right?
Right.
Okay, now here's what's interesting, and this tells you people understand socialism better than you think they do. So then they broke it down. They said, okay, would you rather have free market or government provision of these services, right? First ones, they asked the American people, keep in mind, 40% now say they embrace some form of socialism, might be good, we should really try this, it would be really awesome, we can totally do it so much better. 43% believe some form of socialism would be a good thing. But then you break it down, you ask him, all right, who do you want to handle technological innovation like your phone?
Mm-hmm.
Free market or the government? Oh, God, I need my phone to work. 75% say free market. Only 19% say government. So they do understand, don't they?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Who do they want to handle, Gallup asked, the distribution of wealth? 68% say free market. 28% say the government. That doesn't sound like a winning issue for the Democrats, does it?
No, not at all.
Who do they want to handle healthcare? Well, then it gets a little closer. 53% want the free market. 44% want the government. So, I mean, they get it. They get, you know, this tells me they get that the government will screw this up badly. And you cannot have your cell phone screwed up.
No.
I mean, we've seen all those studies, right? People go into depression if their cell phone doesn't work for an hour.
Yeah. We can be denied all kinds of services for medical care, but don't mess up my phone.
Yeah. I mean, like, if I'm going to bleed to death, okay. But I want to be on my phone while I'm doing it. Because I got to play the Cola Challenge.
Exactly.
People have to watch me.
Let me get this post before I bleed out.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, interesting that people actually, you know, get this. When asked, okay, well, who do you want to manage the economy overall? So we're breaking this down, right? This is the Gallup poll on socialism. 62% are like, oh, dude, free market. And 33% say the government. So when you start getting real specific here, people are like, no, keep the government out of that. And the problem here that Gallup concluded, they said people now are associating social justice and socialism. So they like the idea of social justice, like in the abstract. But when it comes down to, okay, should the government handle, you know, technological advances with your phone? Oh, God, no. See? All right. Paul in Inman says he has had firsthand experience with the Cola Challenge. Tell us how that went for you, Paul. Did you win?
Good morning, Tara. No, there was no winners. Okay. This is one of those things that you have no idea how difficult that is until you live into it, and you cannot bring the population of a country into it overnight. It's tried, it's successful, but then you're going to have, in case of Venezuela, so many millions of people screaming. But just to tell you how many miles of people I have seen walk past daily just for bread, it's unbelievable. The next thing would be toilet paper. Somehow everybody likes toilet paper, and the quality that we had was... to be honest, really, really crappy, you know. It ends up in a toilet anyway. But this is not just food stuff. It's actually everything that you deal with on a daily basis. Have you ever had any work done to your teeth without Novocaine?
Oh, gosh, no.
I had all 14 teeth before I actually jumped over the fence done without any Novocaine. That included everything that needed to be pulled.
Whoa, Shep. Wait, hold on, Paul. But I got to go two things quick. What country are you talking about? What country was it?
Oh, just the middle of Europe, Central Europe, Poland, right there in the middle of it.
Okay, and how many teeth did you have pulled without Novocaine? Tell me again.
From my youngest days when I started counting them, how many times I had to go to the dentist. This was for the first set of teeth that had to fall out eventually.
Yeah.
And then eventually the cavities. My father made an edict. He already migrated to the States. He already escaped. So he said, listen, fix your teeth there because it's expensive here. Have them all done before you arrive.
Oh, my God.
Okay. But then we had to sit down, and the dentist kept finding stuff. So I had at least several that were, or three or four that were root canals, essentially root canals without any Novocaine in them.
Oh, my gosh.
This also went for anything that you had as far as broken bones. I have had one broken thumb, but friends of mine had broken arms, legs, and they were always set without any pain medication. Okay, because they figured, you know, it's a child. It doesn't hurt as much as a Communist Party membership, adult fully vested. You know,
right.
These guys got the best health care ever. We had a big strife in our family because my grandfather was essentially a pro-patriotic underground army type.
Mm-hmm.
His older brother turned on everybody and became the second highest communist or third highest communist in Katowice, of all places. And these two, essentially, they didn't speak to each other much after that. But my great uncle happened to be traveling with the top echelons of the Soviet Communist Party all over the world. It was the only guy that traveled. And this is what made him so special, because one time he made a presentation for us, which just happened to be for Christmas, I think, at the Bear House. And he gave us pictures taken in Egypt, up and down on that Russian influence Middle East countries. It was spectacular.
Wait.
It didn't hit me until years.
So hold on. You're telling me that, like, basically these members of the Communist Party, they got everything, right? Like, they got the good health care and they got to travel and all that, but nobody else did.
Well, the thing is, they had secret stuff that we had no idea even existed. I mean, the hospitals, the spas that they built for themselves.
I see.
The party. It was
and you had no
Novocaine. I mean, they never had any reason to go west, you know. As far as I remember, growing up, if a child had, for example, congestive failure, heart problems of some sort, you know, kind of never going to amount to anything. The only miracle that happened was somewhere in America, okay? This is the only place that they would, there were at least two cases I remember when the kid got to travel with the mother to the States to have the operation done and then come back. I'm not sure exactly what year it was. It had to be late 70s, early 80s, okay? But it happened only in the West, never happened in the East, or in under the communist rule. So just because you're going to see 700 people for a bread line, you know, today, that's nothing. This is like, hey, it's every day. Hey, look, oh, grandma's there. She's talking with her friends. Everybody's standing there for bread. And the stuff that was more valuable, my God, who would stay there for days, okay?
Days.
And the worst thing out in the economy, the more trivial stuff you needed, more people you needed to do this. So you would rent the grandma, okay? You would have a place in line that actually made lists of people that were there with names, a way to contact them just in case somebody would throw the product into the store. They would go and buy that list to make it fair, okay? Because you don't want to invest 2 days a night standing in line for something, and then somebody just shows up in the last minute, poof, right there first, they're served. You see, this is it's all there. This is a whole universe that most Americans have no clue about. You know, that and a bunch of other stuff like historical things that keep coming up because of witnesses to your life, you know, that lived through this stuff.
Well, just real quick, because Paul, I'm at the end of the segment, but this is fascinating. Like, what? Just name me one thing. Like you said, you know, stand online for 2 days. You're from obviously communist Poland. What would you stand online 2 days for?
Toilet paper. You know, I mean.
Well, how much did you get at the end of that?
You know,
how much did you get?
They would just get one of whatever unit sold. Things were so bad. I remember walking into a meat store with all empty hooks, nothing in there, and the expedient or whoever the lady was behind the counter. You ask her, well, she had a standard response. Oh, we don't have anything for another 2, 3, 4 days, 5 days, whatever it is, until they just dropped something on us. They had no idea what was coming. Also, it was fascinating. The only two things that were in the little kiosks on the corners were the Communist Party newspaper and condoms. There are two items that were in pretty much full supply all the time. And we only had one TV channel. This is minimum that the government needed to tell us what it's going to be propagandized that day. There were no need for other channels whatsoever.
Of course not.
So if you look at your phone, you will not need a phone. Believe me. Communications were all listened to. I don't know how many times we had a phone in the house, which was kind of an unusual thing for a while. But I remember talking to somebody and I hear click something on the line. You know, I know exactly what's going on. We were just being listened to. Anytime my father called the house, you know, we were recorded left and right for everything. Everything he said. That's a fact. There's probably a recording somewhere, you know, in the bunker still, just for that.
Well, the NSA handles that now, so we have that here, I think.
Of course.
Yes, but without the click on the line.
Everything, you know, it's fascinating. I kind of, the more I look at the news, that's why I don't really watch news anymore. This is the old Soviet style.
Good gosh.
You have a prettier, prettier pictures, and you got more shining cars, because back then no one had a shiny cars unless you were in some sort of a illegitimate, you know, operation of some sort. I mean, it's fascinating when you think about this.
Well, Paul, I'm glad you're here now with us in America, where you can get. I mean, is it wonderful to you to just go to Walmart and buy all the toilet paper you want? I mean, did you go through a toilet paper hoarding phase or no?
No.
You
we
didn't
never
do that.
Did. We actually, you see, we were minimalists. We lived on such little, so little. Two rolls would take us for, you know, 3 weeks. You know,
Lord. Oh, my Lord. I have a 7-year-old who uses one roll every time he goes in. We're teaching him. Anyway, okay. So are you ever just in wonder when you walk into a Walmart, like, wow, I could buy all this stuff? Does it ever wear off?
I was shocked.
Shocked.
The first time we went to Winn-Dixie on the Wadsworth Hills or on Highway 29 in Spartanburg. We lived in apartments right there. Yeah. I went to Winn-Dixie, and my jaw dropped because I went, my God, I never saw so much stuff in one place. And this is just a little Winn-Dixie. It's now gone. There's a Gap there or whatever, or a Steak and Ale.
Wow.
Or in Longhorn right now in that location. But anyway, that was the first store I really went into.
Well, and I got to stop you there because unfortunately we're out of time. Paul, I'm glad you're here with us in America Now, where we have all the toilet paper you could possibly ever want for the rest of your life.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So there you have it, folks. Paul from Poland, where you learn to live on two rolls of toilet paper for an entire family for, what did you say, 2 weeks? We didn't use much anyway. I said, would you have to wait online days for, oh, toilet paper. Two rolls? Dude, I'd be using leaves in the forest. I would just give up. I would give up. It's insane. Okay. Meanwhile, I want to play this for you. In fact, what do we got? Okay, you know what? I'm gonna do this other thing because we're up against a wall here. You've heard about this 16-year-old tragically died in ICE custody, right? And the Democrat, you're gonna see maybe Rachel Maddow, she cried last time. When you have that many people coming through our ICE facilities on the border, this is gonna happen, especially as sick as many of them are. They come from third world conditions. They haven't had the kind of health care we do. But you're going to see tears. You're going to see demands for justice. You're going to see ICE murdered him. ICE didn't murder anyone. They found him dead. But this is what you will never, ever, ever hear from the left. The thousands of children who are being used every single day by the Democrats, by the left, by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. We now know 30%, about a third of the kids that are on the border are alone. They're just being used. They were purchased, kidnapped, and they're being used by adults because the adults know if they're with the kid, they can't be detained, even if the kid's not biologically related to them. Now, the Democrats could fix this any moment they wanted to, but they refuse because they don't give a rip about kids. They're going to try to convince you they do. They're going to go on and on and on about this 16-year-old who died. But these are the kids you will never hear them discuss. I need the audio back on for this. I think it's on. This is Brandon Judd. He works on the border every day. He is a Border Patrol union chief. On how children you'll never hear about are being used on the border. And the reason you'll never hear it is because they're useful. Their suffering is useful to the left. Here you go.
These smugglers, they offer families money in order to use these children. I know sometimes these children are used multiple times.
Yeah, these children have been recycled over and over and over again. And when they get recycled, they're put into hands of pathological, dangerous people. We know that they're being used for exploitation, for indentured servitude. We know that they're being used as sexual exploitation. As they get recycled, they're not able to develop like a normal child would be able to develop, and of course they're not going to be able to become productive citizens of any country wherever they end up at because of this exploitation. It's very disgusting to see how this works, and as I get a firsthand look at it, is that as I work on the border right now in RGV, mm-hmm. I'm getting a firsthand look at exactly what's happening and the numbers, and frankly it's staggering.
And people want to bring the children because why?
Well, they know that if they have a child, they're going to get released. If they don't have a child when they cross the border illegally, we can hold them for an indefinite period of time pending their asylum or deportation proceedings. But because of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals case, we can only hold children in custody for 20 days. And because we will not separate family from children, the parents end up getting released with the children within 20 days. That's why it's so important for them to cross the border with children than without children.
Got it. Brandon, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Sexual abuse, exploitation. They just bought 1 out of 3 kids on the border. We're finding tens of thousands every month. They don't care. But they're going to want to tell you all about the 16-year-old that died in ICE custody because they want to get rid of ICE so they can have open borders. All right, love this text on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. 71307 texter writes, just goes to show you don't have to be born here in America to be a true American. We love you, Paul, and we're glad you're here. Yeah, I am too. I second that.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, I got to tell you the story in the news today. Sometimes God has a way of like grabbing you by the throat and slapping you across the face.
Oh, yes.
And yelling, wake up.
Yes.
You fool. This is one of those, at least what I thought when I saw it. You guys did it in the news. This is here in Greenville. 26-year-old woman arrested Sunday after her SUV went off the road and crashed into several headstones. It's according to the Highway Patrol. Yeah. She was stopped by headstones. Chelsea Heather Hallquist was driving west on Batesville Road about 2:30 p.m. when the SUV left the road and hit several headstones. Hova said a 25-year-old man and her two children, 2 and 4, were passengers in the SUV. She was charged with DUI, child endangerment. Listen, lady, we can replace a couple of headstones. Your insurance, I'm sure, will pay for it.
Yeah.
This is a sign of what you keep doing this, where you're going to end up.
Yep.
Do you need any further clarification?
Well, one would hope not.
Oh, God, 2 and 4 in the car. What? Some people, I swear. So I hope she gets the message.
I certainly do.
She is so lucky no one was hurt, except the headstones. Like I said, we can replace those.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
Well, could have been of some historical value, though. It's always sad to see someone's final resting place desecrated like that.
Yeah, but if it was my final resting place, I'd be A-okay with it if it saved two kids. Yeah,
you wouldn't worry about that.
Yeah, because I wouldn't care anymore.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Cheryl Atkinson did an interview with Huckabee the other day. And, you know, we have all heard her, her story about, you know, she's at CBS and they find spyware on her computer. The government had been spying on her. But I've never heard this version of her story before. Take a listen.
Someone planted classified documents in.
Wait, here we go. I'm sorry, I got the wrong one. Oh, here it is. Okay, let me start with this one. Here we go.
You don't just write about being spied on. You were spied on by the U.S. government. Tell us about that.
Some intel sources came to me and told me I was likely being surveilled.
I never realized, let me stop it there. I never realized she found out this out because of that. Never heard that before. I thought they just found it on the computer. Wait, so intel sources come to her and tell her she's likely being surveilled? What?
Yeah.
Again, she's a reporter.
Yeah.
She continues.
Because of the reporting that I was doing, a lot of government watchdog reporting, as I always had. And long story short, I was able to find some special intel forensic sources who looked at my computers and devices and found a long-term monitoring surveillance effort with government spyware, with government IP addresses used that didn't belong in there, to monitor my keystrokes, to get into the CBS computer system. Someone planted classified documents in the computer, and we were able to find forensics with great certainty as times and dates and exactly what they did.
Okay, now CBS actually hired a forensic firm to come in, so they had a professional forensic firm. What? But this part I hadn't heard before.
Someone planted classified documents in the computer.
What?
Yeah, I'd never heard that that version of it either.
And it's a very big, deep, long thing. And so when she talks about it, and they've written about it in the past, I mean, it's articles go on page that I necessarily haven't read all of it. Were they trying to frame her?
That's what it sounds like. Also, wasn't she the one that actually saw that they had taken control of her computer? and that she was actually seeing that things that were being done on the computer that she couldn't then access because someone had actually remotely taken control of the computer itself.
Of her computer.
Yeah.
Now, this would be a crazy story if it weren't happening all over the place. I mean, they did this to James Rosen,
yes.
Fox News reporter. Yeah. They even spied on James Rosen's mother.
Yeah.
This is all fact. I mean, this is not conjecture. They spied on Jenis Kucinich and leaked his conversation opposing Libya because Obama was mad. Jenis Kucinich was a Democrat Congress member, and Obama didn't like, or his administration didn't like, the fact that he opposed them and spoke out passionately about, you know, we shouldn't invade in Libya. They punished him by releasing his recorded phone calls. So I played this today because, one, this is terrifying. Okay, this is a casual trolling that very much reminds me of what Paul just told us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he grew up in communist Poland. He's like, you know, the people, the censors who are listening, you could hear the click on the phone.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. What's the difference between that and this? Why would they plant classified data on her computer? Do these people regularly frame people? And what was interesting about Cheryl Atkinson telling the story, her whole purpose of telling Huckabee this story was to say, listen, you know, everybody thinks they didn't like Trump. They're going after Trump. They disagree. Maybe that's part of it. But that's not the whole point. The point, she said, is they got a lot to cover up. Look what they did to me. And she goes on to explain that this is what she thinks Spygate's really about, is getting Trump before he realizes what they do.
Here's what I don't understand. Why wasn't there a public outrage from your colleagues in the media? Because this is the kind of thing that is a total shredding of the First Amendment of the Constitution of an independent press.
I will postulate something to the people watching. The 2016 shenanigans by immunity, 2016, it was not about they hated Donald Trump out of the blue. According to sources that I have in reporting that had already been done, they were panicked at the notion of a Donald Trump coming in outside the establishment with Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, who used to head the Defense Intelligence Agency, and it was known they were going to clean house of some of these surveillance abuses that have been going on a long time. So there was panic.
And I'm sorry about the skip in the middle of that. That's just a digital skip. I can't get out of the audio, out of the Fox audio. But it, anyway, pretty interesting when you think about it.
Mm-hmm. This lines up with plenty of other anecdotal information that
yeah.
we have.
That this is, and again, this is when you have Lindsey Graham, you know, back when he was on the Mueller train and all about getting Trump, saying, oh, by the way, I was spied on, and Rand Paul saying, oh, yeah, I was too. Cheryl Atkinson, James Rosen, Kucinich. These people have nothing in common with each other. One is a mainstream media reporter. The other is a Fox News reporter. One's a Democrat Congress member. Two are, Republican Congress members. I mean, what picture does this draw? Was what happened to Trump just routine? And they caught him? Did they just screw up this time? Where they didn't screw up in the other cases, Lee? I mean, it really makes you think.
Yeah.
I mean, how big is this thing? I mean, if we just get them for what they did to Trump, will we have missed the whole enchilada? Now I'm craving Mexican food.
doesn't take much for me. But
no,
anyway.
Me either. So, but I hear Mexican music, and I want chips and dip. Does that happen to you?
Yes.
Am I the only one? Because you know what always pays in the background when you're at a Mexican place eating chips and dip? Not that I do that much. I'm always perpetually on a diet, unfortunately. Yeah. I have no metabolism. But, boy, I'll hear Mexican music, and I've got to have... Guys, hey, Katie, bar the door. Give me the salsa. Anyway. So, the NSA is listening. Maybe y'all can bring me some salsa.
That's right. Hold the
salsa.
Guacamole, please.
Hold the guac. I'm not into guac today. It's a little heavy. It's too hot out. But I'll take some salsa.
Sleepy Joe said that he's running to, quote, save the world. Well, he was. He's going to save every country but ours. Democrats are now the party of high taxes, high crime, open borders, late-term abortion, killing your Second Amendment, and radical socialism.
Wow, these people have gone nuts.
Do you have some of these socialist wackos? They want to double and triple your taxes. Under my administration, we're reversing years of failed trade policies. Politics is a crazy world, but when you have the best employment numbers in history, the best economy probably that we've ever had. I don't know. How the hell do you lose this election, right?
Please don't. I don't know, but please don't. Massive election fraud in Florida. We'll get into that closer to the election. It's my biggest fear, actually. Fair fight, he wins. I'm afraid it's not going to be a fair fight, but we'll get into that later. Alan writes, this is truly brilliant, Alan. Thanks for sending me this email at tara@1063word.com. This idiot judge, just talking about the judge who said, yeah, Trump should turn over all his financial records to the Democrats so they can use it for campaign research. I mean, for to get to the bottom of the crimes. Yeah, the crimes. Judge is an Obama donor and Obama appointee, which is the only kind you ever get if you're Trump. Alan writes, hey, Tara, this idiot judge rejected Trump's contention that the House Democrats wanted his financial records for personal political reasons, not for legitimate oversight. Can't question Jared Nadler's motives or his committee's. Here's a quote from the article. Alan writes, quote, it is not for the court to question whether the committee's actions are truly motivated by political considerations. Judge Amit Mehta, the Obama donor, wrote in a ruling Monday. Accordingly, the court will enter judgment in favor of the oversight committee. Well, we don't know why they want stuff, but we have to believe that they're good people and they would never use it for election opposition research. Never, never, never. That would never happen. Alan points out, but when Trump tried to have a ban on travel from Muslim-majority countries for obvious security reasons, he was thwarted by a number of individual judges based on his alleged motives. He had said disparaging things about some Muslims in his campaign. Good point, Alan. No, 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 no. That has been the primary reason for ruling against most of these Trump initiatives. And it's always overturned, eventually. Now it makes perfect sense. Well, but Trump can't be allowed to reverse Obama's executive order. Well, but why? Because Trump thinks mean. He thinks mean. He's a meanie thinker. Yeah, but there's no judicial precedent for a ruling. It doesn't matter. We can at least block him for 2 years. She loved this. But we cannot question the lily white motives of the hacks on the Jared Nadler committee. And, you know, if all the financial data that they get from their subpoena is used against Trump in an election, well, I mean, I can't help that. Where do I send the check for the Democrats again? I haven't mailed one lately, says the judge. All right, we've been over this. It's definitely want to give that a lesson. Listen in the 8 o'clock hour because this is absolutely terrifying. It sounds like tit for tat back and forth, but it's much more than that. This is a sign to folks that if you are not a billionaire, at least if you are not somebody who has hundreds of millions of dollars, you will not survive lawfare and thus can't run for president. I mean, if you have a net worth of a meal like $3 million, you're out. No, you're out. You can't run. Well, I mean, you would run out of money by the end of the first year if the new standard is Republicans must turn over every last financial record. Did you make a condom run at midnight with that debit card? Send someone to do it for you? Yeah, we're going to have to know about that. If you're a Republican. So, I mean, you run out of money a year into this thing, you're going to have everything on everyone you know, you love, your friends, your neighbors, your children. They're going to have all their financial records, too, if you can't defend yourself, you run out of money. So you can't afford to be president. Only Trump can. Now, you could afford to be president if you stick to the uniparty line, don't question, and we don't have to put, you know, haul you into line again. You know what I'm saying? You can afford that. But otherwise, no, you can't afford. You're going to have to be a billionaire to be president just to afford the legal bills. Which I guarantee you at this rate will run into the hundreds of millions of dollars. They would have to. I mean, that doesn't even count the 23 criminal investigations that have been spun off the Mueller investigation. Those are still ongoing. He's got to defend himself in those too. Folks, no one will ever run to represent us again at this rate. They can't afford to, even if they want to. And if you raise the money to defend yourself, if I leave you with one thought today, if you raise the money to defend yourself, guess who owns you? The uniparty donors can't win. And that's the purpose of this project, to demonstrate to you that no matter what you do, if you're going to serve the people of the United States of America and not Washington, you can't win and we will break you, financially or otherwise. All right. Have a great day. Be back tomorrow.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.